now come to order. Please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
We thank you, O Lord, for the good weather that we're having. We thank you for all the many blessings that we receive, even though sometimes we're not entitled. Look on us with your mercy. Look on our service men and women that's serving all over the country for our welfare. Help to bring them home safe to us. Give us the desire to make an honest decisions. And remember, these are for the community. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and please be seated. There is a sign-in sheet near the door to the hearing room. Please sign this sheet to record your attendance at today's meeting. For those of you who would like to speak, we ask that you sign one of our blue speaker cards. Give the blue speaker card to the staff member at the front tables so we can call your name at the appropriate time. There are agendas in the table outside near the hearing door room. Please take one. The today's agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. To outline the order in which the meeting is conducted, each petition has a report presented by staff to the board, providing information on the petition. After the staff presentation, board members may ask questions of staff regarding the presentation for clarification. The petitioner is then offered to make a presentation regarding his petition to the commission. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. Therefore, it's important that speaker cards are provided if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is open for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain whether you wish to speak or not, still provide a card. You will have an opportunity to decline the opportunity when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have an opportunity for rebuttal and then additional questions if needed. And finally, the board will take action. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. It's been properly moved and second. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. Next item, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. We will meet again on February 4th, 2020 at 1:30 in this same place where we are today. We have developmental plans that have been submitted for review. We have several items that have been removed from the agenda. Item number 4, rezoning map amendment for Corvair Avenue. Is there anyone here for that? Next is the rezoning map amendment for Diamond Causeway and Ferguson Avenue. Is anyone here for that? We also have a zoning text amendment for the Eastern Wharf Plan Development. Is anyone here for that? Lastly, item 7, rezoning map amendment, Penrose Boulevard. Is anyone here for that? Sir, that item has been removed from the final agenda. If it comes back up, yes, sir, it will be. Mr. Lotson, would you kindly address that issue?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. There being no one else present, Chair will entertain a motion to remove items 4, 5, 6, and 7 from the final agenda.
So moved.
It's been properly moved by Ms. Southers and second by Mr. Coles. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carries. We have 2 items on our consent agenda. Item number 8, approval of the December 10th, 2019 briefing and regular minute meetings. And item number 9, authorization resolution for memorandum of understanding with Chatham Area Transit. Chair will entertain a motion on both of those items. It's been properly moved by Mr. Manigault, second by Ms. Milton. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. There being no old business, we will now go into our regular business, item number 10, map amendment. Ms. Mahalik.
Thank you. All right, thank you. So the City of Savannah, on behalf of the Carver Village Neighborhood Association, has filed a petition to designate the area that can be seen here on the map from the center line of Gwinnett on the north to the center line of Allen, to the center line of Blunn, the center line of Enley, to be known as Historic Carver Village, Flatman Village Overlay Conservation District. Bridget Liddy is the city staff who applied, and she sends her regrets that she could not be here today. But we as MPC staff should be able to answer any questions you had for the petitioner, hopefully. And I do believe that the president of the Neighborhood Association is here, obviously with a lot of other wonderful people from the neighborhood. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the history of Carver Village. It's an established historic neighborhood with a distinctive social and architectural history. So Carver Village was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in January of 2019, so right about a year ago. And this was after a long project between the Neighborhood Association, MPC staff, and the city staff to survey the neighborhood and then prepare the National Register nomination and then, of course, go through the process of listing. So now the City of Savannah and the neighborhood are interested in protecting those historic resources that were identified, as well as prohibiting lot combinations, again, to protect the historic development pattern of the neighborhood. So this would require that all demolitions, if approved for a conservation district, it would require that all demolitions of historic buildings be reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission that is about to be created at a public hearing with public notice and would be, and again, would also prohibit all lot recombinations. So this neighborhood was established in 1948. It was conceived and planned in 47 as a low-cost housing development for African Americans. And you can see up here, this was basically the rental building here. This is from a video that was created in 1949. You can still find on YouTube. It was called the Carver Village Exclusive Colored Housing Development. So it was the first of its kind, providing low-cost loans to African-American homebuyers and providing city-funded roads, drainage, water, and sewer services. So the American Small House, which you can see here, is the design for the buildings in Carver Village. And the design in this particular neighborhood was determined by a design competition. Cletus Bergen, who's a local Savannah architect, pretty prominent Savannah architect, was chosen to design the model house in this development. So public notice was sent to every single property owner within the proposed district boundaries, which is this map here. And as of when this report was written, actually staff did not receive any written letters or emails, but we did receive a couple dozen phone calls from property owners within the area. Most of the questions revolved around clarifying what the end goal is for the project like this. So in addition to the public notice, city and MPC staff with the Neighborhood Association president presented this proposal to the attendees of the December 16th Carver Village Neighborhood Association and of course answered many questions at that time as well. The area within the Conservation Overlay District is generally characterized as predominantly single family with some neighborhood-scale commercial uses. There are a couple of civic uses, including two parks, community center, and churches. But you can see here on this aerial map that this lot pattern of single-family homes dominates the neighborhood. Both, just for information, both the base zoning districts and existing land use categories will remain unchanged with this conservation overlay. So I just want to bring up one point too, and I have this on a jump drive. So this is a map of the... This is a map of the context area. So here is Carver Village and Flatman Village here. So this is what's basically at this time basically known as the Canal District. So this is west, immediately west of the National Historic Landmark District over here, and in the center of a lot of established areas already. So staff is recommending approval of the historic Carver Village, Flatman Village Overlay Conservation District as requested by the City of Savannah and the Carver Village Neighborhood Association. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions of Ms. Mahalik? There being none, I do not have any speaker cards either.
Hey, coming.
Yes.
On the map that just went away, it said flat land, and on the other documentation, it's Flatman.
Flatman is correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure it was advertised correctly and everything is.
Yes, it was.
Awesome.
I have several speaker cards. I would ask that you keep your comments to 2 minutes. Some speaker cards have noted what you are here for. Some have not. I'm going to start with, is it Ms. Nevada Cooper? Yes. Please step forward to the podium, state your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes, ma'am.
Nevada Cooper. I was just concerned more about the Hearn Street area. I didn't think we were going to be affected by that. I thought it was on the other side of Stiles Avenue. I didn't know that the Springfield area was going to be affected by this because we didn't get anything in the mail.
It is not affected.
No, ma'am.
No. Okay, thank you.
Just the areas that are bounded in yellow right here.
I also have a speaker card for Ms. Ziegler. If you would, ma'am, please step forward and state your name. You have 2 minutes.
It's Theda Ziegler, and you said that the areas encircled by the yellow would be affected?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so does that include the street that runs by I-16 next to the highway?
Ms. Mahalik?
Would that be widened, or would that remain the same?
None of the roads will be changed at all.
Okay, that was my question.
Any further questions, Ms. Ziegler?
No, thank you.
I have a card for a Mr. Johnny Ziegler as well. Okay, thank you, sir. I have a card for Mr. William Lott. William Lott. I have a card for Ms. Essie Richards. I'm assuming this is with Carver Village. Is that correct? Ms. Richards, if you would please step forward, state your name for the record.
I'm Essie Richards, speaking on behalf of the Carver Village Association. I am in favor of the consideration for the Flatman Village and the other historic overlay. But I too had a question about east of Stiles Avenue.
Yes, ma'am, your question.
Well, the question is, is it also the historic overlay?
It is not part of this proposal at this time.
At this time, mm-hmm. It's not in question?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but all the other areas bounded by...
Right, so everything you can see in this black line here. So this is...
Gwinnett.
This is Allen Avenue. So Allen Avenue is the eastern boundary, so it does not include the Springfield Terrace neighborhood.
Okay, perhaps at a future time?
Did you want to clarify that?
One of the things that we discussed with the city was looking at having a broader area for review to make a determination about what would be in the best interest to look at what was going on for development. In order to move quickly, based on some of the development pressures, Carver Village and the areas within the boundary, we had already done all of the work with regards to working with the neighborhoods. You had a conservation district. We had the surveys. So that's what went first. But the map that Ms. Mihalik just took down basically has a broader area that will be an area that the city probably will be looking at working on in the future. In addition to that, some of that area is going to be probably part of the canal district, and I'm sure you all have been looking at what those boundaries are.
Okay.
But right now, the only thing that we're talking about are the areas bounded in black.
Thank you, and we appreciate the information.
Thank you, ma'am. I have a speaker card for Dale Robinson. If you would, sir, please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Hello, good morning. My name is Dale Robinson. My question is to the MPC, what's going to happen with Gwinnett Street? Is Gwinnett Street going to be widened, or what's going to happen with that particular area in Carver Village, Gwinnett Street?
I will say that right now, this does not have anything to do with Gwinnett Street. Gwinnett Street and part of that area is part of the bigger master plan for the Canal District. And as the city gets closer to having a document that is approvable, they will hopefully come back out to the community to talk to you about what that will entail. But from meetings that have already taken place, there will be some road improvements for the Gwinnett Street area, but that's not a part of what this is.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. I have a speaker card for Mr. Curtis Cooper. If you would, sir, please step forward, state your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon. I am the president. My name is Curtis V. Cooper, Jr. I'm the president of the Cloverdale Civic Improvement Association. And we had attended the meeting in December at the Carver Village Community Center about the Conservation Overlay District. And we were wondering how would we go about getting considered in the Cloverdale subdivision for this Conservation Overlay District.
Ms. Mihalik, would you quickly answer that for Mr. Cooper?
Really, what it takes to become a conservation district is literally to apply for a text amendment to the city of Savannah for the overlay. I don't know if you have anything to add to that. I mean, Carver Village went through a survey process. I think we talked a little bit. I remember us talking about this quite a bit at the meeting. They went through a survey process with a grant and then a National Register nomination first. That's not necessarily required in the process. However, I do know that there are some thoughts about a larger overlay, like you're discussing.
The larger overlay would probably be the way to go. But if you are interested in having some protections for Cloverdale, We can talk in a little bit more detail about how you might go about that, because there's a number of paths that you can take in order to do that. But as a neighborhood association, you all could apply to just have an overlay district created, but you need to have some specifics about what you want to have happen within that area.
We just wanted a conservation overlay. We meet the criteria as a community as being 50 years old. We were established mm-hmm. in 1959. Mm-hmm. Also, I think one of the questions was about going east, and that would be Springfield Terrace. Mm-hmm. With these communities being directly impacted by the arena, it would seem fitting that we would be protected with this overlay. The community I'm talking about is the Cloverdale community, mm-hmm. and Springfield Terrace is across the street from Carver Village, from Temple of Glory.
I understand that, and we've had discussions with the city with regards to having a larger boundary and actually having us stay until a decision is made about what's going to happen with development there. They've chosen right now to leave the area as is with regards to what the current zoning is, and to not have any additional requirements. But I will tell you that the map that we just took down mm-hmm. was a little bit larger boundary area that they've had a lot of discussion on about slowing stuff down so that there can be some time to have a study done. One of the things that we don't want to have happen is to have all of these overlays without having anything that you get out of it from the standpoint of either design criteria or some development standards that help protect you as a community as development occurs in that area.
Yeah, because both communities, Springfield Terrace is already impacted by the canal and those cul-de-sacs, so they lost a lot of property, and those are FEMA lots over there, and there's still residents over there. And then in Cloverdale, we're right there at the front door of the arena project. What's the timetable for another community getting this overlay district?
Literally, if you want a conservation overlay, as Carver Village applied for, you can literally call Bridget Liddy of the City of Savannah and apply for a text and a map amendment the same way Carver mm-hmm. Village did. Bridget Liddy was the staff person, if you remember, mm-hmm. at that meeting. Mm-hmm. So literally, through them, you would fill out an application with them that would come to our department for evaluation. Did she hand out some of her cards at the...
I have her number.
Okay. Yeah, and I will tell you that mm-hmm. one of the things to remember is that when you become an overlay or when you participate in this process, it's like you're rezoning that whole neighborhood. So generally, there's a petition that has mm-hmm. signatures of all the property owners. That's why I said there's like kind of a survey that basically says all of these folks are in agreement, and it goes through kind of a mass rezoning with regards to placing that overlay on the property. You go through the application process. We can work with you on doing that. We'll be glad to sit down and talk to you and give you the information so that you can get in contact with Ms. Liddy and other folks at the city to make your application. Then they'll send it back to us to mm-hmm. do some evaluation on it, and we'll move forward from there.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. I have another speaker card for Eleanor Bynes. Okay, thank you, ma'am. I have a speaker card for Ms. Carolyn Slay. If you would, ma'am, please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon, Carolyn Slay. I want some clarity again on the boundaries. Some of the residents were coming in as you were speaking. Can you give us the boundaries again?
Absolutely. So on the north here is West Gwinnett Street. On the east is Allen Avenue. On the south is Blunn. And on the west is Enley.
Enley?
Mm-hmm. Endly. So that encompasses Flatman Village.
West Gwinnett?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes. Blunn.
Blunt.
B-L-U-N on the south. And then Enley on the west.
And Enley on the west.
Yes.
And that is to include Flatman Village,
yes.
Correct? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Slay. I have a speaker call for Ryan Arvey. If you would, sir, please step forward, state your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, MPC Board. This comments are on behalf of Historic Savannah Foundation. My name is Ryan Arvey. I'm their Historic Properties Coordinator. Usually I would hang back and let all of the residents speak because I feel that they're the most important voice, but I appreciate being recognized. We just wanted to say that we're in favor of the overlay district. We think it's a positive thing to protect the neighborhood, especially with inevitable increasing development pressures as the canal project gets underway. At HSF, we feel that it's important to preserve, protect, and promote all of Savannah's histories. And for too long, neighborhoods such as this have gone unrecognized. We're grateful that it's getting the recognition we feel it deserves. And since preservation is about places and people, we feel the overlay district protects both, and we are in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I have a speaker card from Mr. Dwayne Stevens. If you would, sir, please step forward, state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon, Board, Mr. Chair. I'm Dwayne Stevens. I am the chair of the Historic District Board of Review. However, I'm here in the capacity of a community member, born and raised Cloverdale, grandparents in Carver Village. I want to first state that I'm definitely in favor of the overlay for the Carver Village neighborhood. These types of protections are long overdue for such communities. I think we have an enormous opportunity for not only preserving historical and architectural assets, but we also are presenting ourselves with an opportunity to preserve some cultural elements and assets within our community. I want to also support what Mr. Cooper mentioned. Though there's a physical barrier of I-16 between Cloverdale and Carver Village, those communities are quite frankly one and the same in a sense, with a lot of those communities being a lot of those residents originally being born and raised in Carver Village that eventually went over into Cloverdale with larger footprints, larger houses, and things of that nature. So I think there's an opportunity to create a corridor in which tells a story and continues to preserve a culture as a whole down that stretch as it contributes further to the development of the city as well as the Canal District.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. I have a speaker card for Denise, is it Rosser?
Rozier,
I'm sorry. Ms. Rozier, would you please state your name for the record? You have 2 minutes.
Good evening, my name is Denise Rozier, and I have two questions concerning the letter that was sent to the residents. Could you give more clarity on the overlay district? I know you guys were talking about the overlay district, so could you give more clarity of that? And also from the letter, it was saying the destruction of properties. Could you give more clarification of that also?
Ms. Mahalik, please.
So the conservation overlay district that Carver Village applied for is literally an overlay over the area that's bounded here. And within those boundaries, historic buildings would be protected against demolition, as well as the recombination of lots would be prohibited. That's literally the two elements that would okay. change within that boundary.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I have no further speaker cards. The chair will entertain a motion with respect to item number 10, map amendment.
Microphone.
Properly moved by Mr. Cole, second by Ms. Milton. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? I'm going to change slightly. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. All opposed, motion carries. With respect to item number 11, which is the text amendment that covers the overlay, chair will entertain a motion. It's been properly moved by Mr. Coles.
Second.
Second by Ms. Jarrett. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? All in favor? All opposed, motion carries. Thank you, Carver Village. Item number 12, rezoning map amendment. Ms. Tishon.
Thank you, Chairman. May I have the mouse, please? Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. So good afternoon, Chairman and Commissioners. The petition before you today is a request for approval to rezone 2818 B Road, which is split zoned from the BN and BC zoning districts to the TC1 zoning district. Just of note, the TC1 zoning district is a mixed-use district. Here on the map, you can see the subject parcel in the hatch. And you'll notice that the northernmost one-third of the property is zoned BC, with the southernmost two-thirds zoned BN. So for this particular request, there are 10 parcels along the block face, with frontage along B Road on the same block face as the subject site. Of these, 5 are classified as commercial, 3 are classified as residential, and 2 are exempt. The parcel that is north is zoned BC, and the parcel to the south, which is fire station number 8, is zoned BN. And just for context, I do have some photos here for you. So this is a picture of the surrounding area as it was on the 7th of January. This is an existing structure that is on the parcel that appears to be residential. However, it appears that it was most recently used as a commercial. This is the northern property line for the subject site. This is the southern property line showing the firehouse. This here is, again, the firehouse going south on B Road, and this is north on B Road. So the surrounding area includes commercial and residential uses. Residential structures to the southeast of the site are predominantly single-family. Commercial uses in the vicinity include a mix of retail and food service establishments. TC1 allows for civic and commercial uses by right that are not allowed in BN or BC zoning districts, such as emergency shelters, soup kitchens, day labor employment centers, and indoor animal services. TC1 districts basically allow for mixed-use development with an emphasis on pedestrianism and the provision of neighborhood-level commercial uses. So the subject site has maintained, the area actually has maintained its development pattern since the mid-20th century, providing appropriately scaled commercial uses and walking distance of established neighborhoods and civic uses, such as Daffin Park. The development standards for TC1 are urban in nature. They establish uniform setbacks, density and height requirements, and they allow for a range of residential uses and neighborhood scale services. In comparison, the BN and BC development standards are much more lenient. You could actually construct a warehouse on something in that zoning district. So since the historic development pattern in the area of B Road and East Victory Drive has been that of mixed use, neighborhood scale development, we believe that the TC1 zoning classification is appropriate for the subject site, and staff recommends approval of the requested zoning map amendment. I'm happy to take any questions.
Questions of Ms. Chisholm? No questions? Is the petitioner present? If you would, sir, please step forward and state your name for the record.
Hello, I'm Jay Maupin, Maupin Engineering, agent for the owner.
I have a very quick question before you start. Don't want to get you into it. What date was the sign posted?
It was posted December 29th, I believe. It was posted the day Beth Barnes made it available for me.
Okay. You may proceed.
I think Ms. Condra made an excellent presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have in reference to it and what we plan to accomplish on the site.
Any questions? Questions, Ms. Milton?
Since you mentioned it, what do you plan to do on the site?
We actually want to go more residential, being that the parcel is mid-block. It's not a very high commercial use, is not really the highest and best use. The BN, BC zoning don't allow any residential uses besides upper story. Being that the parcel is smaller than a half acre, it doesn't allow for a traditional commercial use, suburban type commercial use with a building and a parking lot and so forth. So we want to go with a straight residential use and take advantage of the wonderful city park across the street That is really the highest and best use for the parcel and most desirous for the market right now.
Walk to the game.
Pardon me?
And walk to the game.
It would be a great little place to live, that's for sure.
There being no further questions, thank you, sir. I have a speaker card. The name looks familiar. So does the face. Ms. Ellen Harris?
No.
Okay, thank you. All right, I have no further speaker cards. I have no further questions. The chair will entertain a motion.
Move to approve staff's recommendation.
Second. It's been properly moved by Ms. Jarrett, second by Mr. Coles. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? All in favor? Raise your hand by signature. All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Item number 13, demolition of a contributing building. Mr. Jarls.
Good afternoon. So this is an application requesting approval for the demolition of a contributing building. It's located at 312 East 38th Street. And as you can see in the map, it's the northwest corner of East 38th and Habersham Streets. The property is labeled within the Mid-City Historic District Contributing Resources map as 2215 Habersham Street. So that's just, they're both the same address, but for the same building. The historic building was constructed in 1900 and is a rated structure within the Mid-City Local Historic District. And it was purchased by the current owner on June 21st, 2018, as referenced in the applicant provided appraisal report. I'm just gonna go to some photographs real fast of the structure just so you get an idea of where it is. This is the corner of the lot. I'm also gonna show you a couple more. And this is the current exterior conditions of the structure. So I'll just kind of go over a couple of them so that you can get a good look. So there are two conditions in which the MPC can approve a request for demolition of a contributing building. The first condition is if there's a threat to public health or safety. In the case of public health or safety, it is usually typical for the city engineer to approve an emergency demolition permit, and the COA would be applied for after the fact. The criterion is not applicable to this particular building, as there's no immediate threat known to public health or safety. The structural inspection of the building performed on January 11th, 2019, so just after the purchase of the structure. It reports that the structure is on the edge of collapse and the engineer recommended immediate demolition. However, the report did not provide a clear and detailed report on the conditions for the structure. And a more detailed report, staff feels, would be needed for this case. The second condition to which the MPC can approve a request for demolition of a contributing building is to avoid exceptional practical difficulty or undue hardship. Within the submittal, the property owner states, and I'll go to that real fast. So here's a checklist that they provided. So they state that the property is non-income producing as well as not being listed as the primary residence. However, staff found that there were lights within the property to be on at all hours of the night and day, which can be seen within photographs that are attached here as well on the agenda. So kind of go with those. So staff feels that this is indicating that the structure seems to be inhabited to some capacity. So the property values within the immediate context vary, but the appraiser provided several properties of comparable size. So I'm going to go to those real fast as well. And these varied in price between $62,000 and $156,500. And those are the appraised amounts. No information was provided indicating that the owner sought relief by placing the property for sale. The appraisal provided with the submittal was created solely with the intent that the property would be demolished. No, not going to work. There we go. And that's essentially what it's stating within this document. So it's intended to be demolished within this document. And a fair market value of the structure's existing condition was not provided. A fair market appraisal of the structure, as it currently stands, is one of the required items that we need submitted for the application. And as you can see on this page of the document, they have the value of the subject property appraised at $0, which we feel to not be an accurate representation. They also claim within the checklist here that there are no significant state or federal tax incentives available for rehabilitation, but there are significant state and federal tax incentives available for rehabilitation, for which this building would most likely qualify and for which the applicant stated, again, that do not exist. So for the purposes of this, demolition is a means of a last resort, which the building has been, while the building has been neglected and is certainly in need of rehabilitation, the overall historic integrity of the building appears to be intact. So staff does not feel that the rehabilitation or sale of the property would deprive the petitioner of a positive economic use or return on the property, or would cause exceptional practical difficulty or undue hardship. Let's move back to that. Come on. If the Planning Commission would, though, find that the contributing building meets the criteria for demolition, the owner must receive a COA for new construction from preservation staff prior to receiving a demolition permit. And also, they would be, if they did meet the criteria of the demolition, staff would recommend that the building be documented per the MPC policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition. I do want to add real quick that we received a couple of letters, one being from Cody Tharp, from Tharp Engineering. Let me find that. He's expressing his concerns within this letter on the methods applied to the subject property in regards to justifying the proposed demolition, essentially saying that he found that those that the original engineering report did not justify a proposed demolition. The second letter we have is from Ms. Patterson, who is unable to attend this meeting today but wanted their letter to be placed on the agenda. And this is a letter opposing the demolition as well. Essentially what it states is that they too purchased a property in similar disrepair and were able to rehabilitate it. So staff is recommending denial for the demolition of a contributing building located at 312 East 38th Street, because the building does not meet the criteria established to demolish a contributing building due to the lack of sufficient evidence within the engineering report, as well as the property appraisal provided.
Questions of Mr. Charles? Yes, Mr. Welch.
You said that this is somewhat occupied?
So
maybe?
Possibly. There's evidence that the building is occupied in some fashion.
Yeah, I see a light on. I don't know if that was a ghost. I'm just curious.
Any further questions, Mr. Charles? Is the petitioner present? If so, step forward and state your name for the record, sir.
Petitioner is present, and almost wasn't present because I didn't get the notice that we were having this today, and I didn't really fill out the application. I had a construction firm fill it out, and they didn't get notice, and so the folks who filled it out aren't here, but I can answer, I think, most questions. I can tell you some of these concerns, if I had known were concerns, I'd have tried to have addressed ahead of time.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Boykin, would you like us to continue this to allow you the opportunity to present your
evidence? I suppose so. We didn't get notice And the thing about the lights on, we leave lights on because of security in there. And I will just say this, you know, I forgot my top hat and my snidely whiplash mustache here coming in to try to knock down this building. But I bought it without the intentions of trying to demolish this building. I've owned property right across the street. I own property down the street. There's only one other piece of property that touches this property other than mine. And so I've got an innate interest in this building and in this property. I bought it thinking it would be a good rehab on that corner, and I thought it would probably be a nice little spot for something, some kind of small business, a restaurant or bakery or something. So I wasn't interested in rehabbing it, but I mean in tearing it down to begin with. But when I had some folks go in to preliminarily look at it, it was in such poor structural shape, the roofers wouldn't go on the roof because they thought the back end was going to collapse. And and they went through the pictures real quick. From the street, it kind of looks all right, and that's what I was relying on to begin with. If you go to the other side of the building, and there's some photos, that's where the real structural damage is. And on that back porch, the support posts.
Mr. Boykin, it sounds like you're presenting your case in chief. You want to continue? You want a continuance?
I'll continue. I was just warming y'all up for next
time. Okay, all right. Mr. Boykins has requested that we consider continuing his matter until the, which calendar, would that be February 4th?
February 4th.
To the February 4th, 2020 calendar.
All right.
Would you be ready then, Mr. Boykins?
I believe so. I'll have my engineer go back out there and try to get a little more detail. I mean, I don't tell him how to do his business, but I'll ask
him. Ms. Wilson, is that?
February 4th is acceptable, but I do want to have one note for clarification. You know, someone knew because they're the ones that put the posting signs up for the meeting. So I just want to be real clear that we didn't put the signs up and we don't put the signs up, but February 4th would be the next MPC meeting.
I was there this morning. I didn't see any signs.
There's a request from the petition to continue this matter. The chair will entertain a motion. Properly motioned by Mr. Coles and second by Mr. Noah to continue this matter to the February 4th, 2020 meeting. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. This will be continued to the February 4th docket. We'll see you there, Mr. Boykin.
Thank you. Appreciate
sir.
It.
There being no presentations, no other business, the chair will entertain a motion. You have something you want
to
say?
I do. I just wanted to announce that we've got a new staff member.
That's right, we do.
And hopefully she's still here. I'd like for you all to welcome our newest director for advanced planning and special projects, Jackie Jackson.
Hello, Ms. Jackson. Welcome back.
Glad to have you back.
Yeah.
All right, there being nothing else, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved, the chair. We stand in adjournment.